RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Still broadcasting from the fourth floor of RRI building in Jakarta. Welcome back, listener, on Indonesia Today. This is a program that takes you closer to Indonesia. And now it's my turn, Rahma, to present the program till the next 2 hours with various interesting programs and information that you won't miss. And today's special program of the day, we have a program that reviews newly launched book and film on book film review. Then we have a music program on Meet With. So keep listening at voi.co.id, voi.co.id. Or for more direct link to the video streaming, you can click english.rriworldservice.com. So listener, why don't have to wait any longer to enjoy this next program? This is book and film review from Voice of Indonesia. Check this one out.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia introduces moderate Islam and Pancasila in the Forge ISIS. Freeport ordered to submit shares offering this year. Now the news in detail. Indonesia will be the host of the Fourth International Conference of Islamic Scholar ISIS, which will take place in the State Islam University of Maulana Malik Ibrahim Malant, East Java, on 23rd and 25th of November 2015. Secretary General of the ISIS, Hasim Musadi, to media the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Wednesday said that Indonesia, known as the largest Muslim country in the world, will introduce moderate Islam to the international community because moderate Islam is the one that is untouched by political and economic elements and some other interests beyond the religion interest.
Islam moderate itu artinya Islam natural, ilmiah.
Moderate Islam is natural and sensitive one that has not been touched by the conflicts of interest, both political and economic hegemony, as well as various kinds of interests outside of religion. This moderate Islam we bring to the world by showing the mindset of Islam in Indonesia that ensures the national and international security.
Yang menjamin terselenggaranya keamanan nasional dan keamanan internasional.
Furthermore, Hasim Musadi said that besides introducing moderate Islam to the international community, Indonesia also introduces Pancasila as state philosophy to be an alternative option for secular and religious states. Meanwhile, in the same occasion, Director General of Information and Public Diplomacy at Foreign Affairs Ministry, S.T. Antayani, said the Fourth International Conference of Islamic Scholars this year will be the theme upholding Islam as Rahmatan Lil Alamin, capitalizing intellectuality and spirituality towards better life of human beings, which aims to strengthen the understanding of moderate and tolerant Islam as well as to promote educational system that combine between the thought and remembrance, or seeker to deliver good deeds as a foundation for global ethics. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Minister is set to issue a ministerial regulation on the revocation of non-clean and cleaned non-CNC mining license, IUV. Director General for Mineral and Coal Bambang Gatot Aryono said the move is in response to calls from the central government regional administration to tidy up some confusing mining license systems. Bambang said in a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday that the ministry will discuss the uncleaned and uncleaned licenses with all provincial governors with the police. The new regulation will provide guidance on how to revoke or cancel an IUP. Meanwhile, Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resource Minister has set the end of this year as the deadline for Giant Gold and Copper Miner PT Freeport Indonesian submission of its shares offering to the government. The Minister Sector General for Mineral and Coal, Bambang Gatto Ariano, said Freeport, the U.S.-owned operator of one of the world's biggest gold mines in Papua, had not yet offered locally the required 10.64% of its shares. The mining firm was supposed to submit a share offering in October to fulfill a shares divestment required of it by the government regulation. Bambang at a press conference in Jakarta Wednesday explained that the company was reportedly still in the process of valuing their shares based on forecasts and of figures including production level prices. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian government has announced a moratorium on carrying out the debt penalty in order to focus on improving Swatrin economy. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Panjaitan told reporters in Jakarta on Tuesday that President Joko Widodo would not authorize any more executions pending reports to revive the economy, which is growing at its slowest pace in 6 years. President Joko Widodo's administration has drawn widespread condemnation from the international community for revamping the debt penalty that the previous administration of Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono had last year served. Under President Joko Widodo, administration in Indonesia has this year put to the debt 14 people convicted of drug offenses, 12 of them foreign nationals, including mentally ill Brazilian and 2 Australians who had reformed and were providing classes and ministry for fellow prisoners. Indonesian government will not hold contract renegotiation with Freeport Indonesia until 2019, a key minister said on Tuesday morning. Amid allegation, House Representative Speaker Setia Novanto had attempted to extort the mine in China. Coordinating Minister for Politics, Legal and Human Rights Luhut Panjaitan told reporters in Jakarta, despite receiving mounting pressure to extend Freeport's contract, President Joko Widodo understands that the government is prohibited by law to extend operational contracts 2 years before the current contract expires. Freeport's contract is to expire in 2021, but the miner has requested an extension to 2041. Minister Luhut added that President Joko Widodo had made 4 demands to Freeport: royalty, local content obligation, the construction of a local smelter, and divestment. The last item, police in Jakarta have arrested 6 people, including a Libyan national and airport currency officer, for the illegal trade in a wild flight. Officer also seized several live animals from the suspect, including a clawed leopard, a sun bear for birds of paradise, and a siaman, a species of gibbon. All the animals are protected under Indonesian law from being treated. Commissioner Mujiono, the Jakarta Police Director of Special Crime, said on Wednesday that the arrest and seizure took place over the period of 11 days, with the police working with the wildlife conservation groups to uncover the trafficking network. He also said the animals were destined for the exotic pet trade in the Middle East, with the Libyan man acting as the buyer for clients in Dubai and Kuwait. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, listener, our commentary today entitled Indonesian Firmness Against Freeport. Who doesn't know Freeport? One of the world's major coal mining companies is Freeport McMoRan Copper and Coal Incorporation, which has always been a heated debate in Indonesia. There are pros and cons between the great advantage that the company obtains through the exploitation of mine in Papua and what is gained by Indonesia, especially for the well-being of the local residents. The residents of Amhume tribe, for example, have never received compensation of their customary land use rights from Freeport during 40-year operation. If the future of Freeport's operation in Indonesian easternmost island is complete, the remains are traces of very large mining excavation, which may result in the emergence of ecological disaster. In 2021, the work contract held by Freeport will be over. However, Indonesian government hasn't given signal whether there will be an extension or not. Obviously, according to Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung, renegotiation is based on several points, such as the increase in royalty and development in Papua. The statement of the Cabinet Secretary Anung is one form of affirmation of the Act No. 4/2009 on minerals, mining and coal, locally called Minerba, which regulates the issuance of special mining business license, IUPK, as the basis for mining operation agreement. With the special mining license, the government's position that represents the state is on priority. Reports early work contract was positioned as parallel as the Indonesian government. Well, will the strong position of the government and the number of requirements in the mining law 2009 reduce the competitiveness of mining investment in Indonesia? Indonesia should be prepared with any condition if the government of the USA as the country of origin of Freeport Indonesia finally intervenes Indonesian government's policy. Maybe that's the way that requires Indonesia to be more independent. In one hand, Indonesia has to reflect on experiences that saw the dependence which has only given unilateral advantages for foreigner. On the other hand, as if Indonesia is not the owner of the natural resources and disrupted with a lot of polemics that could trigger to split among Indonesians. Admittedly, the completion of Freeport issue is not as easy as turning the hand, because it is related to the interests of superpower. With its power and influence, the superpowerful country can garner support from many countries to discredit Indonesia. But once again, the world must know that Indonesian friend standpoint is actually based on true goal to establish the state of Indonesia, such as to promote the general welfare. Earth, water and natural resources contained therein shall be controlled by the state and used for the greatest prosperity of Indonesian people. That's the objective of a state, as it is definitely true in any country. Well, listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on November 19, 1969, when Charles Pete Conrad and lunar module pilot Alan Albin walked on the moon. Apollo 12 was the sixth manned flight in the U.S. Apollo program and the second to land on the moon, an H-type mission. It was launched on November 14, 1969 from the Kennedy Space Center, Florida, 4 months after Apollo 11. Mission commander Charles Pete Conrad and lunar module pilot Alan Albin performed just over 1 day and 7 hours of lunar surface activity, while command module pilot Richard F. Gordon remained in lunar orbit. The landing site of the mission was located in the southeastern portion of the Ocean of Storms. Unlike the first landing on Apollo 11, Conrad and Bean achieved a precise landing at their expected location, the site of the Surveyor 3 unmanned probe, which had landed on April 20, 1967. They carried the first color television camera to the lunar surface on an Apollo flight, but transmission was lost after being accidentally destroyed the camera by pointing it at the sun. On one of two moonwalks, they visited Surveyor and removed some parts for return to Earth. The mission ended on November 24th with a successful splashdown. And the next event was in 1977 when President of Egypt Anwar Sadat visited Israel. On November 19, 1977, Anwar Sadat became the first Arab leader to visit Israel officially when he met with Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin and spoke before the Knesset in Jerusalem about his views on how to achieve a comprehensive peace to the Arab-Israeli conflict, which included the full implementation of UN Resolutions 242 and 338. The peace treaty was finally signed by Anwar Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin in Washington, D.C., United States, on March 26, 1979, following the Camp David Accords in 1978, a series of meetings between Egypt and Israel facilitated by U.S. President Jimmy Carter. Both Sadat and Begin were awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for creating the treaty. And the last event was in 1999 when International Man's Day was commemorated for the first time. International Man's Day, or IMD, is an annual international event celebrated on November 19, inaugurated in 1992 on February 7 by Professor Thomas Oster. The project was reinitialized in 1999 in Trinidad and Tobago. The longest-running celebration of International Man's Day is Malta, where events have occurred since February 7, 1994. International Man's Day finds support from a variety of individuals and groups in Australia, the Caribbean, North America, Asia, Europe, and Africa. Speaking on behalf of UNESCO Director of Women and Culture of Peace, Ingeborg Brains said of IMD, "This is an excellent idea and would give some gender balance." She added that UNESCO was looking forward to cooperating with the organizers. The objectives of celebrating an International Man's Day include focusing on men's and boys' health, improving gender relations, promoting gender equality, and highlighting positive male role models. It is an occasion to highlight discrimination against men and boys and to celebrate their achievements and contributions, in particular for their contributions to community, family, marriage, and child care. The broader and ultimate aim of the event is to promote basic humanitarian values. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with today's focus entitled Government's Effort to Encourage Indonesian Workers by Giving Certification to Face the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC 2015. So stay tuned. Listeners, ASEAN Economic Community AEC to be applied in the end of 2015 are not only about free trade or industrial competition, but it also tends to be about service or labor competition because there will be labor exchange in the ASEAN Economic Community 2015. Indonesian industry sectors are even used to facing the AEC, Secretary General of Ministry of Industry Sharif Hidayat said in Jakarta. According to him, national industry has been ready to face the ASEAN Economic Community because free market trading has been done for a long time ago. What Indonesia needs now is the qualified and certified labor because the labor will be assessed based on their competence so that the certification later on will be needed in order to support the AEC labor's quality. Meanwhile, the government will encourage the labor's competency to gain the best quality in order to compete globally by giving certification to Indonesian laborers. The Ministry of Public Works and Housing, through Directorate General of Competence and Productivity Building, has given certification to 400,000 craftsmen through General Competency Test Builder by using Mobile Training Unit MTU. Directorate General Competence and Productivity Building of the Ministry of Public Works and Housing, Mas Rianto said, to face the AEC, The governor gives certification to thousands of craftsmen so that they have global competence to face the AC. Based on the Ministry of Public Works and Housing, of 7.3 million Indonesian construction workers, only 10% of them already have competency certificate. Mas Rianto targeted 1 million Indonesian laborers will have certificate consisting of 150,000 of experts and 850,000 of skilled laborers. On the other hand, the Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises, Anak Agung Gede Ngurah Puspayoga, said the government will specially pay attention to small and medium enterprises development to face the ASEAN Economic Community AEC. According to him, synergy among ASEAN member countries is needed to develop small and medium enterprises, or SMEs. With the synergy, the entrepreneurs will exist to face AEC. Puspayoga said there are 5 strategic points as guidance to develop small and medium enterprises in ASEAN. Firstly, productivity improvement, technology usage, and innovation. The second one is improving financial access. The third is improving market access and process to enter international market. The fourth is policy making and regulation improvement. And the fifth is entrepreneurship development and human resources capacity improvement. Besides, Puspayoga said, to improve small and medium enterprises' competitiveness, the government supports some programs, such as expansion and finance access easiness through distribution of microloans and retail, such as 22% loan interest to become 12% per year and 9% in the next 2016. And listener, that was Focus.
Hello listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers published on Thursday, November 19, 2015 in Jakarta. Compass Daily in its headline writes about quick steps of the Court of Board Honor is awaited. The Court of Board of Honor, or Honorary Supreme Council, has been able to follow up the report of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Sudirman Said, related to profiteering the name of President and Vice President to add something from PT Freeport Indonesia. This is because the Honorary Supreme Council, or MKD, on Wednesday, November 18th, has received a recording conversation of June 8, 2015 meeting. The meeting was held between President Director of PT Freeport Indonesia, Ma'ruf Samsudin, Chairman of the House Novanto, and oil businessman Muhammad Riza Khalid. While Media Indonesia writes about Novanto's violation increased, with revealing allegations of profiteering the name of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla by House Speaker Setia Novanto to acquire the shares of PT Freeport Indonesia, ignited other violations allegedly committed by the House Speaker. Finally, he referred to send Katabalace to Pertamina for the sake of other sites. In a letter with letterhead of the House, which was addressed to the President Director, Dwi Sucipto, dated October 17, 2015, he asked Pertamina to pay the cost of fuel storage to PT Orbit Terminal Merak. Vice President of Corporate Communications of Pertamina, Wianda Pusponegoro, acknowledged it received the letter, but did not to do anything other than follow the registration and verification. Head of Administration of the Speaker, Hani Tahapari, also reiterated the House has never issued such a letter. Vice Chairman of the Honorary Supreme Council, MKD, of the House, Juniman Girsang, said, besides profiteering Jokowi and JK's names, it will explore the allegations of ethical violations committed on Novanto related with Katabalace to Pertamina and the lobby of the purchase of US2. We conclude the headline of Tempo newspaper. The Daily writes about Luhut dragged Freeport's pander. The name of Coordinating Minister for Politics, Legal and Security, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, appears in the transcript of taping of conversations between Setia Novanto and the oil employers R and MS, who allegedly a high ranking of PT Freeport Indonesia. The third meeting allegedly took place on June 8, 2015, at the Ritz-Carlton, Jakarta. The talks regarding a contract extension that expired on Freeport is being asked for an extension to the government by the reason that 2 years to the contract deadline is too tight because it involves huge investment. The transcript circulated in public. Novanto referred the allotment of shares of Freeport was a request of Luhut Panjaitan. Minister Luhut refused to explain about Setia's statement, which mentions his name as the person who requested the allotment of shares of Freeport. That was today's headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesia will be the host of the 4th International Conference of Islamic Scholars, ISIS, which will take place in the State Islamic University of Maulana Malik Ibrahim Maland, East Java, on 23rd until 25th of November 2015. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Minister has set the end of the year as the deadline for Giant Gold and Copper Miner PT Freeport Indonesian submission for its shares offering to the government. The Minister Director General for Minerals and Coal, Bambang Gato Aryono, said Freeport, the US-owned operator of one of the world's biggest coal miners in Papua, had not yet offered locally the required 10.64% of its shares. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Minister is set to issue a ministerial regulation on the revocation of non-cleaned and cleaned mining license. Director General for Mineral and Coal, Bambang Gato Aryono, said the move is in response to the calls from the central government and regional administration to tidy up some confusing mining license systems. Indonesian government has announced a moratorium on carrying out the death penalty in order to focus on improving sputtering economy. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Panjaitan told reporters in Jakarta on Tuesday that President Joko Widodo would not authorize any more executions pending reports to revive the economy, which is growing at its slowest pace in 6 years. Indonesian government will not hold contract renegotiations with Freeport Indonesia until 2019, a key minister said on Tuesday morning amid allegation House Representatives Speaker Setia Novanto had attempted to extort the mining giant. Police in Jakarta have arrested 6 people, including a Libyan national and airport quarantine officer, for the illegal trade in wildlife. Officers also seized several live animals from the suspect, including a clawed leopard, a sun bird for birds of paradise, and a shaman, a species of gibbon. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Bali Island, so stay tuned. Thank you. Listener, Bali became a favorite tourist destination of foreign tourists when visiting Indonesia. On the island, most of them enjoy the beauty of the beaches of Bali. Bali is awarded by the beautiful beaches. One of the beautiful beaches in Bali, which is famously known, namely Jimbaran Beach. On the beach, there line up seafood cafes. Various seafoods with plant of wax lights become an enchantment of Jimbaran Beach, so no wonder Jimbaran Beach visited by many tourists. For those of you who want to enjoy similar atmosphere to Jimbaran, but with more quiet atmosphere, you can visit the Kadonganan Beach. It is located near Jimbaran Beach. Kadonganan Beach can be accessed for 5 minutes from Jimbaran Beach by a motorbike. The beach is just 3 kilometers from Ngurah Rai Airport. Like Jimbaran Beach, Kadonganan Beach actually become the center of seafood restaurant in Bali. It is not complete if you do not enjoy the seafood during your stay in Bali. The row of cafe lined up neatly on the south coast of Kadonganan, which is managed by the local indigenous village. These cafes offer a variety of fish, lobster, shrimp, crab, squid, and scallops. It is guaranteed the freshness of all seafoods because it just been taken from traditional Kadonganan fish market. The favorites menu are grilled snapper, served with rice, Balinese kangkung plecing, and condiment. The restaurant or cafes usually open in the afternoon or evening. Because the view of the sunset become the target of tourists to the Kadonganan Beach. Enjoying dinner while enjoying the beauty of the sunset become a moment awaited by the tourists. Not surprisingly, many honeymoon couples often enjoy a romantic dinner on the beach. Some restaurants also provide jukung, fishing boats typical of Bali. You can ride the jukung and sail around Kadonganan Beach. The trip will be more impressive if the afternoon to evening because you could see the lights of the restaurant from the sea. Listener, in addition to enjoy delicious seafood at the Kadonganan Beach, you can also sunbathe, swimming, or just walking around the beach. For those who like photography, the view of fishing boats leaning on the beach can also be an interesting object. Not far from the Kadonganan Beach, precisely in the north, you can find a traditional fish market. If you intend to buy fish, you should buy fish before 11 a.m. At that time, the fish is still fresh and you are free to choose better quality of fish. So, if you have planned for vacation with your relative and family, please visit to Kadonganan Beach in Bali. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Kadonganan Beach in Bali, and we will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Ms. Eleni. And today's edition presents you Mount Parujari. Stay tuned. Located in the center of volcanoes, Indonesia doesn't lose its charm. Even this situation can give pride to Indonesian people. If it is seen from various sides, Indonesia is so lucky to be surrounded by volcanoes. One of areas in Indonesia, that is West Nusa Tenggara. In this area, tourists can enjoy the beauty of sunset and get amazed by sunrise. The spectacular view can be found only in West Nusa Tenggara. West Nusa Tenggara has a mountain which is dubbed as mother of all mountains. It is called Rinjani. The mountain deserves to be called so because Rinjani is a mountain where climbers can enjoy not only sunrise, but also Lake Segara Anakan and Mount Parujari, which is situated inside Mount Rinjani's crater. Ago, Mount Parujari spewed thick ash reaching 3.5 kilometers. It makes West Nusa Tenggara Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency and Mount Rinjani National Park decided to close this area from climbing. Lombok International Airport was also closed for a while. It directly affected tourism sector, which is indeed the main sector of Lombok people. Head of West Nusa Tenggara Tourism Service, Lalu Muhammad Fauzal, explained the impact of airport closure for tourism sector in Lombok.
Pariwisata NTB ini, Lombok ini adalah pariwisata yang diakses melalui berbagai penerbangan internasional. Itulah yang berdampak kemudian pada penurunan.
Lombok is a place that can be accessed through various international flights, so the airport closure results in the decreasing number of tourists and occupancy of best hotels in Lombok. It also ends up in the decreasing income and supporting tourism commodities like handicraft, souvenir and other tourism services such as transportation and restaurants. We feel the impact in the economic field. It is common that if a mountain erupts, people around it do not do activities like usual. But people in Lombok still do regular activities. It all looks normal. Head of West Nusa Tenggara Tourism Service then explained it again.
Sebenarnya secara fisikly,
physically, we do not feel any impact from Mount Parujari eruption because the position of Mount Parujari is safe for people on Lombok Island. It is situated in the center of Lake Segara Anak, which is 9 kilometers, so the eruption doesn't expand to other areas. Destinations in Lombok are still comfortable. Little dust may be seen, but it depends on the wind direction. But basically, it doesn't disturb life of people on Lombok Island. The There is no other word that can be said by amazing. Other posts are provided for people as shelter throughout the foot of Mount Rinjani. They are for emergency situation only. It was disappointing for not being able to climb Mount Rinjani because at that time, four climbing lanes were closed. Voice of Indonesia then talked to the head guide of Mount Rinjani, Junaidi, who said that Senaru should not have been closed because it is the safest alternative route to go to the peak of Rinjani.
Alternative safe-nya hanya Senaru.
The safe alternative is only in Senaru. We have proved it since 1994, 2004, 2009, and 2010. It proves that everything is safe for tourists, porters, and guides. This is not the first time for Mount Rinjani and Mount Barujari to show their strengths. This closure affects not only tourism sector, but also economic sector for people who work as porter and guide. On the other hand, people cannot blame the government, but the government should pay attention to people around the volcanoes to avoid people's disappointment on the route closure to the peak of Rinjani. The government should see it from two sides, because every situation always has two different sides. Hopefully, Voice of Indonesia can see the beauty of sunrise from Mount Rinjani and Great Mount Barujari. Well, listener, that ends today's miscellany. Thank you for listening. I'm Hernita. Sampai jumpa.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Listener, in today's edition, I will introduce you to the two music groups, namely Mafiko Band and Maula Band. Firstly, we introduce you to Mafiko Band. Mafiko Band, that consists of Izzy, the vocalist, Asha, the guitarist, Danny, the bassist, and Tama, the drummer. Mafiko Band released its first single, 1-2-3 Surga, to coloring the country music industry. With a hairstyle similar to Kangen Band, they are often considered to be twins. They also hope to be as successful as its predecessor. Relying on that pop rock genre, the four guys from Bandung are also hope they could skyrocket it as Kangen Band. With the song 1-2-3 Surga or 123 Surga, they hope to give new colors and satisfaction for Indonesian music lovers across the country. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled 123 Surga by Mafiko Band. Happy listening.
Malam ini aku bersama kamu, ku berikan semua cinta yang ada kepadamu. Oh kekasih, aku sangat sayang padamu. Coba rasakan curahan cinta ini. Oh,
ku akan setia kepadamu, ku selalu akan menjagamu. Oh kekasih, aku sangat sayang padamu. Cobalah rasakan curahan cinta ini.
Listener, the song 123 Surga or 123 Surga itself was composed by Asia, which told us about the outpouring someone to her partner as imagined in heaven. The song is pop rock nuance with touching of acoustic guitars, keyboard, and the melancholic string orchestra. Especially the making process of the first album involving people who are already familiar among Bandung musicians. Listener, now we move to the following band, namely Maula Band. For a quite long time not performed on the screen, Andika, former vocalist of Kangen Band, and Idham, former Sivilia Band, Personal, form a new band called Maula. Besides Andika and Idham, the band Personal also completed by Ayib, Manik, and Itong. Well, listener, we'll take you to listen to the next song by Maula Band. Happy listening.
Setiaku bilang ku sedang menduakanmu. Sampai akhir menutup
The name of Mawla was taken from the Arabic word meaning young man. While Andika also explained that the color of music offered by Mawla different from Kangen and Sivilia. Even Andika must change his hairstyle for the sake of his new band. He hoped the songs presented by the new band will remind all fans for his previous performance, although in different color of music. Well, listener, to conclude our music for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Istana Surga and Bunda by Mawla Band. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Yang berarti bagiku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.